In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Father who sends the Son into the vineyard to be killed, to rise, to give life. A few weeks ago, we had the parable of the generous vineyard owner who went out throughout all of the day gathering workers for his vineyard, and paying the ones hired at the 11th hour the same as those in the first hour. The generous vineyard owner. Last week we had the parable of the two sons who were asked to go work in the vineyard. And to the first he said, "I will not go," but later repented and went. And the other son who said, "I will go, sir," but did not go. So today we are back in the vineyard with another parable of Jesus. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a wine press in it, built a tower and leased it to tenants, and went into another country. The master who planted this vineyard takes us back to the pages of Genesis where God created the Garden of Eden, bringing everything that Adam and Eve needed right there at their disposal. The Lord created, he cultivated, it is his. Hebrews 1 reminds us, long ago and in many times, many ways, God spoke to our forefathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. A fence went around this vineyard, a barrier, a wall, if you will. This vineyard was to be set apart. It was to be protected. In the Old Testament, the vineyard is a picture of the Old Testament children of Israel. They were set apart. They were to separate themselves from the surrounding people, from their false gods and from their evil practices. The people of Israel were set apart in their laws about diet, about marriage, and about their faith. This fence around them served to protect them and keep them and the community safe. In this vineyard, he placed a tower. It would serve for a watchman to stand upon this tower to guard over the vineyard. It serves for protection also. The religious leaders of Israel were to serve as those watchmen. However, they have become ones with whom the Lord needed to protect the people. And so Jesus tells these parables and points to, many times, these religious leaders who would say the right words, and yes, Father, I'll go, but don't, who have turned away from God's word. The vineyard was leased out to tenants, and the owner went into another country. The vineyard is still his, and those tenants, at the right time, will share in some of the fruit that comes about at harvest time. Or at least that's what they're supposed to do. When the season for the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit, and the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Beat one, killed one, and stoned one. What would you do to these tenants? What would your reaction be? Send in some thugs to correct order, to get your rent, to set them straight? No, this vineyard owner sends in more servants. Scriptures continue. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did the same to them. Okay, now, would you send in your goon squad? No, not even close. This vineyard owner sends in his son. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance." And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What kind of vineyard owner is this? He's cheated out of his rent. His servants are terribly mistreated, beaten, killed, stoned. But yet he sends more, and they too are mistreated. So then he sends his son. What kind of vineyard owner is this? This vineyard owner is our Heavenly Father, who has much grace and love and patience. He knew exactly what they were going to do to his son, but he sent him anyway. And they take that son and throw him out of the vineyard and kill him. Hebrews 13:12 tells us, Jesus suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. It was necessary for the son to suffer and die for the people, for sinners, tax collectors, prostitutes, religious leaders, and Pharisees. Jesus came for them too, and he's continuing to reach out to these religious leaders who continue to turn their back on God's word, who continue to reject Jesus. This is Holy Week. During this text, and in just a few days, the religious leaders will orchestrate Jesus' death on a Roman cross. And Jesus is reaching out to them to the very end. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, he will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out his vineyard to other tenants who will give fruits in their season. Jesus said to them, have you never read the scriptures? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived he was speaking about them. And although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds because they held him to be a prophet. Wicked men knew exactly that Jesus was talking about them. Remember when Nathan the prophet had to go to King David and talk about his wicked activity, the adultery and the murder that he had committed? Here is the Lord's prophet going to the king to confront him with his sin. So he tells him a story about a rich man with many sheep who takes a sheep from a poor man who only had one. David is upset at the story. But yet, Nathan said, you are the man. And David was cut to the heart. He repented of his sin. He knew that he came in a terrible way and realized that that story was about him. And he repented, and there was forgiveness for King David. But these wicked religious leaders know the stories that Jesus is telling is about them, but they continue to reject him. Look, the heir, let's kill him, and this will all be ours. The reason for this astonishing imagery is that in his long suffering, God does act. In fact, he did act in the way here depicted. There's no mere imagery within the experience of men that can picture the amazing grace and the long-suffering of God. This unheard imagery of Jesus pictures the unheard wickedness of these Jewish leaders who murdered not only the prophets sent before for their salvation, but now are about to murder God's own son. This parable, though, is not about the wicked servants, the tenants. It's about a gracious and loving God that has great patience. Even for us, when we find ourselves steeped into sin, when we fail to live the way that we should, when we treat other people badly, whether it's in our head or in our actions, he has patience. When we covet what others have and despise what God has given us, he is patient. when we would like to drag a few people outside and pound them into the dust, he is patient. When we run out of patience, when we snap, yell, curse, swear, he is patient. He calls us to repentance, and he comes to take our sins, all of them, the ones we remember and the ones we hope no one ever finds out about. We have a gracious, patient God. Jesus comes and takes our sins and then allows himself to be dragged outside of a city and crucified on a Roman cross. The sinless Son of God is crucified in our place, for you, for me, for the tax collector, the prostitute, the religious leader and the Pharisee, and everyone in between. He died for us all. Now Jesus was rejected by the Jews, so he gives the vineyard to others, to the Gentiles. The disciples are given their marching orders. They are to go out into the ends of the earth, beginning in Jerusalem. And they do that. They start with persecution coming. The word is spread out into the world. And it goes off to far-off places, like Germany. Far-off places like the United States and a little Perry County on the Mississippi. And even a little farther north up the Mississippi to a place called Quincy, where God's word is proclaimed. Who can you invite next Sunday to come to church to hear about Jesus? To hear about a loving heavenly Father who is extremely patient, ever more patient than we would ever be, but in his love and patience gives us his Son, Jesus. And he gives to us what we need most, the forgiveness of sins. Your pastor just spoke it into your ears. You heard where you stand before God as a forgiven child of God. Who do you know around you that would like to know that they are forgiven in Christ Jesus? Invite them to church. Come with them. Invite them to the next new member class and sit in the class with them so that they can learn of Jesus and the forgiveness that he has for them. We continue to share this good news not only here in Quincy, but we also go beyond our borders into the United States and around the world. There are people who don't know about our gracious God. My family has been serving in Thailand for the last 2 years, and this is a great opportunity for me to say to you, members here at our Redeemer, thank you for the support that you have given to us, that we might go serve in the mission field, that we might tell the good news of Jesus. And now we're transitioning to Thailand. And what do we have? We have the good news of Jesus Christ. This is what we carry across the ocean to the people of Thailand. There's 68 million people living in Thailand, but only 1% are Christian. So I'd ask for you to pray for that 99%, that they would have their hearts open. We know that God is patient. We see it in today's text. We know that God desires all to be saved because Jesus came into the world to die for the sins of the world. And so let us pray to our loving and patient God to send his Holy Spirit into the hearts of the people of Thailand, that their hearts may be opened, that they might hear the gospel that we preach and proclaim, that they might receive his gifts of baptism and the Lord's Supper. The Holy Spirit's job to grow the church. We'll ask that he will continue to work in Thailand and around the world, in Quincy and around our city and our family, that the Holy Spirit would open hearts and minds, that they would come to know who Jesus is, the Savior of the world, that he would come and bring the forgiveness that he earned, speak it in their ears, or splash it on their forehead in baptism, or deliver it into their mouths, the Lord's Supper. Holy Spirit might continue to grow his church wherever the gospel is proclaimed and his gifts are given. We pray that the Lord will send out his word into a darkness of this world, that we might bring folks into the light of Jesus Christ, that they might have hope and eternal life. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.